Welcome to the Aha Moment with
Erin Backus
and Irene Barber, where we talk to professionals in horticultural therapy and related fields, sharing their journeys of discovering the powerful benefits of working with plants. Sit back and enjoy some inspirational stories accompanied with laughter and refreshments.
Oh my gosh, what a happy new year, listeners. This is Erin Backus and
Irene Barber. Hello.
Woohoo. And this is the Aha Moment podcast, where we talk to horticultural therapists and related professionals about their moments that they found out and realized that they should be going into the field. And tonight, we are kicking it off 2023 Southern style with Libba Shortridge. Is that how you say your last name, Libba? I can edit that too if I didn't say it properly.
Shortridge. Yeah.
Oh, I did say it right. Oh, good.
Right.
Well, welcome. I mean, usually we talk about the weather. So, I mean, down there in Georgia.
Hotlanta. Yeah, right.
Hotlanta.
Hotlanta. Is that a TV show too? Sounds like one.
That's pretty good.
That would be a good one.
We can have warm times and cold times here. But mm-hmm. we do experience winter, a mild one.
A mild, yes. Comparative to
nice coloring though, right? Though for your fall, you do get some nice colors down there, no?
Oh yes. Oh. Especially this past fall. It was an exceptional.
The Smokies. I loved the Smoky forest there, the national park. They have gorgeous fall color. I remember seeing that. And all the dogwood trees that you guys have with all of those fall colors. Ooh, beautiful.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
I mean, up here in Mass, it's snow-ridden, 0 degrees wind. It's different living outside of Boston, but I'm still enjoying it. But anyways, I'll get everyone started. Thank you again for coming on tonight, Libba. She is a professionally registered horticultural therapist in Atlanta, Georgia. She recently retired from their practice at Skyland Trail, a mental health facility for adults and adolescents, where she wove together her fascination with the natural world and her awe of human nature in 15 rewarding years. She graduated from the Horticulture Therapy Institute in 2009, and in 2017 was awarded the Rhea McCandless Professional Service Award by the American Horticultural Therapy Association. Libba is currently busy addressing the need for horticultural therapy programming for dementia care in the Atlanta area, including the design of a groundbreaking rooftop garden at the Canterbury Court in collaboration with Dr. John
Zeisel.
Zeisel. That's
a great name.
Great name. Founder at I'm Still Here and the Heartstone Institute. Libba. Mm. Welcome.
Thank you. I am so honored to be here and with you too.
How is quasi retirement working out for you?
I'm so busy. You crazy busy.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. I have in addition to kind of volunteering and not being able to say no. I have been able to celebrate the marriage of our daughter and a new grandbaby of our son and daughter-in-law.
Congratulations. So, yeah. That's fantastic. You are a growing family.
First grandkid? Right.
Yes.
What do they call you?
Oh, we're going to wait until he can talk.
He's going to make up a name for me.
Yubba's a good one.
Aww. Would it say the name again?
No, something like Libba, but L's are very difficult to say.
Yeah.
So I said Yubba. Yubba.
Yubba. Aww. Oh, that's cute. I like that. So are you born and raised in Georgia?
Very much so. I'm a sixth generation Atlantan, and that's from both sides of my family. So from one side of my father's family, my my father's father's and my mother's mother.
Wow.
Both. So dually sixth generation. So I say I'm deeply rooted in Atlanta.
Yeah. And were they deeply rooted Atlanta, or were they closer to different, were they in different areas of Atlanta, of Georgia?
No, always Atlanta, right.
Okay. So you guys must have some interesting documentation or photographs of the years, you know, of the centuries, I should say, of Atlanta changing, because it's changed a lot, right? Even just in the last 50 years.
Yes.
Where you were working at Skylands and been wanting to go there for quite a number of years, that has been a center.
We always talk about it. Always talks about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I do truly. Well, I'm envious of the students who got to go there through HTI training. Number of students through HTI went there, but I didn't get to go there. Boo-hoo. Anyways, but what was the focus, or what is the focus of that center? Is it specific to horticultural therapy, or is it aspects of nature in general?
So Skyland Trail is a mental health facility for both adults and adolescents. And it's unique in the kind of holistic approach, both mental health, physical and spiritual health, right? And they have like on site a primary care clinic where you can actually, you know, kind of like go to the doctor, get blood tests, not have to go off site, that kind of thing. The horticultural therapy is a part of the adjunctive therapies there, including recreational therapy, art, music, and we have woodworking, sometimes drama, dance, but but so it's just a part of that. What's unique about the horticultural therapy at Skyland Trail is that 7 years prior to opening their doors, which would have been about 37 years ago, they researched all over the world the most successful programs and why, and they discovered those with horticultural therapy were successful. So they, from prior to even opening their doors, they incorporated or knew and embraced horticultural therapy and built a greenhouse on the main campus.
Was it born out of a connection to a hospital originally, or how did it get started initially?
That's a good question. We are associated with and partner with Emory University, but it stands alone as a mental health facility. And you know, as far as kind of being born out of a hospital too, it's interesting you said that, because the reason for the impetus for creating Skyland Trail, a place where clients could stay there for what I call a season, typically 3 to 4 months, if insurance allows. And aren't they lucky if they can overlap with two seasons, right? But it came out of the need for a place that wasn't a lockdown hospital that or other institutions. So that was unique in that here was a place people could go in transition between maybe being hospitalized and going back to work or to college into the community.
And so that was started. Remind me of the year that Skyland Trails started.
I'm pretty sure it was 1989.
Okay. So it's relatively new in that case then.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when you were working there, were you initially hired as the horticultural therapist, or did you walk in with a foot in the door in some other capacity?
Oh, that's a great question.
I like to ask good questions. Why did I walk in there?
This is a good story. It was April Fool's Day.
Okay. Okay, there's a story.
Wait, already. Are you serious?
I am serious. It was April Fool's Day, and I walked in as a volunteer, and it was love at first sight. I was like, wow, how did I not know this? That this job was meant for me. How did I not know it my whole life? And yet when I look back, I'm like, well, I knew it. It was, all the pieces were there, you know, and I just was able to just see how they fit together in this new profession that I was just witnessing as a volunteer. And I'm wonderful. At that time, you know, again, I did not have the education in horticultural therapy. I was a landscape designer. Working in the community.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, but my, the wonderful boss, she doesn't like being called that. I call her my supervisor with a supervision over the years, Shelley Dancer. She mulched my path.
Oh, that's,
I like it.
Good. That's great.
She saw my yearning. To do this, she saw my passion and that
curiosity, I'm sure.
Curiosity, exactly. That I could just move right in. I partnered with a wonderful woman who actually had, you know, she pulled me there. We're both volunteers, Carol Weil. And she had said, come help me, you know, you'll love this. Little did I know. It was very clear that I needed, you know, kind of like two roads divided in a yellow wood. And I chose that one. I chose that. And it was a beautiful.
Yeah, I used Robert Frost the other day in a discussion as well. So did you do designing? Have you done landscape designing that is more therapeutic landscaping based as well? And was that kind of a means of you entering into Skylands that capacity, or was it more programmatic that you wanted to participate in?
I will say that looking back, my aha moment before coming to Skyland Trail was an opportunity that I had. I was designing a memory garden for a high school where our daughter, our oldest child, was fairly new in this high school. It's a public high school in Atlanta. And they had asked me to design a memory garden for this horrific loss that they had over the summer of losing three students and two faculty members in one summer. And
oh my God.
I said, wow, thank you, but I can't do this. I can't do this alone. I need to do this with the grieving students, with the grieving parents, with the community, with the art students, with English. We need to write poetry about these trees we ended up planting. Created this. I worked with a student who said, I don't know anything about design. And I said, great. She was passionate about landscape, about nature, and she was grieving. And so that to me, the experience of working with her, working with the parents, with the community, was horticultural therapy. I didn't know it. But I knew.
Yeah, it was like a horticultural therapy charrette that you were going through.
Correct. We watered the trees with our tears. We built a wailing wall with the art students making cylinders in the wall. It was a beautiful thing. Again, and we all know this, it's not something you learn in high school when you're trying to figure where your talents lie and what college you go to. That counselor cannot say, you need to study horticultural therapy.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the same in college, you know. So.
What's a wailing wall?
Oh, wailing wall is one, you'll have to look that up. It is one where you tuck messages into the wall. That it was also incorporated into the book, The Secret Life of Bees.
Mm-hmm. But the expression of like you're wailing, kind of like you're mourning. And
correct.
You're providing and you're expressing your emotions outwardly. And in this case, you were doing it through a creative outlet as far as writing or drawing or something of that nature.
Yes. Yeah.
Huh, that's neat. They're not going whaling, fishing.
Come on, give me a little credit.
I'm joking.
I can tell the whaling part, but I'm like,
So you did that project, and that was kind of an introduction for yourself then to discover
that, again, not knowing there was such a profession.
Yeah.
I just knew that experience. And before that, in what was kind of unique about the way I approach my customers in landscape design was I would always have them be a part of the design. So in other words, I had that kind of that gift of empowering and being empowered mm-hmm. by the customers I worked with. I would get the kids to draw sketches of what does your treehouse look like? You know,
tell me
what you want in that landscape. And it's a lot about problem solving and addressing challenges, which I love. I just embrace the challenge.
And making it personal. I have a real personal connection.
Correct.
So how long had you been a landscape designer and how did you become a landscape designer as well beforehand, you know?
Oh boy. I was for 21 years a landscape designer and mostly working with residential, some institutions. Prior to that, I always worked my way through school landscaping, not thinking that was my major. That was my vocation. That was my way of of getting there. And I was the honeysuckle queen at college because I could climb under the shrubs and pull out that honeysuckle that was choking the shrubs. It was a fantastic experience. I went to a work study school in North Carolina, Warren Wilson College, where everyone worked for room and board. But I had many other jobs, but one of my main jobs was on the landscape crew.
That is brilliant. Wouldn't that be awesome if they had something like that? I mean, I don't think that does a school like that even exist anymore? Like, that is so awesome.
Yeah, and it does. I don't know where to begin the seed. I was looking back to see where did it all start. My earliest memory was 3 years old, looking out, pressing my nose against the screen of a screen door, wanting to be outside, where my mother our parents totally let us be. Mm-hmm. Indoor, outdoor, and there was.
And were they gardeners themselves?
Right. My mother was, I call her a closet landscape architect. It was amazing, the gardens she designed. She didn't really, you know, have the degree per se. She built walls and gardens, and we did together a lot of stonework around our house. We were very fortunate to have a house on two acres of land, mostly wooded. And she and I gardened together. She did beautiful flower arrangements. And then we transplanted things from North Georgia, where we also had a summer home there and grew plants. Mm-hmm. My memories growing up there and playing in the woods and with my neighbor, we would build little rafts out of bark from the pine trees and put them in the creek and pretend we were elephants with the elephant ear magnolia. It's a wonderful imaginative world with the natural world.
Oh, that is so awesome, Libba. And I'm so glad you could share that you said that. I think that ignites a lot of imagination for people. That's really cool. And do you, so in that vein, did you create kind of those opportunities for the residents or the participants of Skyland Trails Like that imaginative experience as well, connecting them to plants.
Thank you. That's a beautiful connection right there. Yes, I did. And I wanted to just quickly describe, if you could imagine my parents, my mother, she loved a rope swing. So we had to have a rope swing, and we had this big pile of leaves at the end of the, at the height of the rope, the swing,
yeah,
where you jump into the pile of leaves, right? And she would do this, right? She said such a kid at heart and just knew about joy and all the reverence for nature. My father as well, who was really curious up until he was 93 years old. I'm giving him more years than they both had this lens of optimism as well. So joy and optimism, and that I think I took with me. So at Skyland, I had the maintenance people blow all the leaves into a pile, right? And usually they're going to blow them away or cart them off, right?
Really, yeah, yeah.
Take them away. I said, no, you're going to put them in a pile, and we're going to have the young adult clients were to jump in them, which they got to do.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we catapulted pumpkins after.
Ah! Oh my gosh, this sounds so fun. What an experience. I loved jumping in leaves when I was younger. Loved it.
I know.
Yeah.
And the smell, imagine that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was doing that a few years ago with a friend of ours in our property in Maine, and she had a 2-year-old son who was out in the leaves, and she's like, she started to freak out though because of the ticks, because we have a lot of tick issues now. And it's so sad. We never had to worry about that, you know. Now it's like, ugh, what another thing to take away from children in their play, you know. What a bummer. But I still make piles, and I still have my nieces and nephews jumping. Oh,
wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. So some of your creative, you're a landscape designer, so you have a very creative bone in your body, obviously. and so what were some of the creative opportunities that you can let us know of that you brought to the forefront for the students, for the children?
Yeah. So adults and adolescents.
And I'm sorry, adults as well. Sorry.
Right. Right. I want to tell you the story about the pizza garden we created, because this would tell you how it wasn't, even though I am and was a landscape designer upon arriving at Skyland, I had to let go of that. Mm. And what happened, to my surprise, was that I had someone, like my experience at Riverwood High School, had someone I could create gardens with. And this was this wonderful population that I came upon. I never would have imagined that I'd be working with. Beautifully authentic, humble, full of humility. They taught me so much. But the first thing I had to learn was to let go. So we were creating what I call pizza gardens, and they were in metal trash can lids. I think it was something I had done with our children in preschool, but I brought this idea there. And what we did was we took those metal bins, we lined them with burlap to make it look like
crust.
Crust, thank you. And then we planted them up with pansies and violas, and added like pine cones, which were the meatballs. We had seashells that were mushrooms, and those Mexican pebbles, which were the olives. But so I had violas were cheese, but the accent was the pepperoni, which was this maroon pansy. That's so perfect.
Yeah.
And they planted this up, And then I went, oh no, y'all, we have a problem. The pepperoni is not kind of like spaced throughout this circular design in this, you know, so it was like a mandala, but a pizza. And I with the landscape architect in me or the designer, it wasn't necessarily getting it right, but like, yeah, we got to spread the colors around, right?
Yeah.
They said, oh no, Luba, because all of the pepperoni or the maroon flowers were on one side of the pizza. And I said, this is the way it looks when it comes out of the freezer.
That's so true. That's so true.
So that's my letting go story. So from then on, as we designed gardens together, I just kind of had to remember that the pizza story and remember that there is that element of humor. Let humor in, right? That one of the critical things that I was supposed to be a role model for the clients, besides letting go, was accepting imperfection, right? Mm-hmm. So I needed to do that too. And I learned over time.
Oh, you hit some major points about letting go and letting imperfection be the beauty of what comes about. You know what I mean? That is so important as when you were starting off, had you worked with any populations in this capacity besides, I mean, you were a volunteer there for a number, was it months or years before? Like, what was your comfort level, I guess, going into this?
The only population I had worked with was the elderly. Again, when I was working my way through graduate school, I had my own landscape business, mm-hmm, installing landscapes because I didn't know that was my career.
Yeah.
And I was studying dance therapy and gerontology together, side by side, because I wanted to be a dance therapist for the elderly. So I did volunteer, and my father kindly told me once when we were sweeping the driveway together that I probably couldn't make a living doing that.
Don't you love parents? Yeah.
So I went into landscape architecture. I then discovered this. I love this field. Why am I just using it as a means to, and rather than just pursuing it as my career?
Right. So, but as far as your comfort level going into working at Skylands, I guess what I'm trying to ask is, when you were a volunteer, how long were you a volunteer before you became an employee there? And what was your concept of connecting and familiarity of connecting with the individuals on this now programmatic level, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, so I volunteered for maybe 6 months, before mm-hmm. being hired. And at that time, I was also pursuing the education I was looking into.
Okay, the horticultural therapy. Yeah. Okay.
Right. But the clients just taught me so much. I could mm-hmm. learn from them. And I learned, this is something also that kind of, a little bit of history about, I went to a phenomenal high school in Atlanta. It was a school modeled after Summerhill. So it was gradeless, where the idea was that you just learned at your own pace, but you kind of embraced learning, lifelong learning. Mm-hmm. You didn't kind of embrace it. You learned to love to learn. And that was really, critical for me, kind of created my, I we can just cut this part out because okay. So what I was trying to, in high school, I remember I had struggled with math. And so the principal, or the headmaster of the school, Mr. Galloway, he said, oh, why don't you teach math? Tutor math, sorry, during the summer, tutor math, and you can learn math that way. And that resonated with me, and it worked. And I thought, here I am at Skyland Trail. I know nothing about horticultural therapy, really. I know very little about mental illness. I know this population I love, I adore, I respect. And I respect their journey, and I want to know more about it. And they're going to be my teachers. Mm-hmm. And they were. And I also did not know, I knew a lot about gardening, right? I'd gardened all my life and designed and planted, but I really didn't know much about greenhouses and greenhouse management, right? I had to kind of learn that too. So rarely did I planted things by seed outside. So one of my first experiences, another great story, is that I was telling the clients, this is all about hope, and we're planting seeds. And we had, unfortunately, I learned later not to do this, a 72-cell pack to plant seeds in. That's a lot of seeds. If you want success and you want everybody to work together, I learned later, you cut them into little pieces and it's much better. And they can work in pairs, et cetera. But anyway, we planted 72 tomato plants in these cell packs. And I said, you know, you can't see the roots, right? But you got to believe in it. You got to trust in the outcome. This is what we're here for, is trusting in the outcome. And then I lost sleep over where they going to come up, right? Oh, we read the Frog and Toad book, right? Oh my goodness. Have patience, give it time. Mm-hmm. And 3 days later, a week later, I guess, the seeds came up, every one of them.
Wow.
I was blown away. I carried it into our community meeting and said, we have babies, like 72 babies. Like, the community meeting was both staff and clients getting together to honor each other.
Oh, okay.
And they looked at me, the clients there and in our group, and said, but Libba, did you not trust? They couldn't believe how surprised I was and delighted and overjoyed that the seeds came up.
Right. I know. It's like we're supposed to really be leaders and, you know, empowerers of this. And yet we're always also still very amazed and surprised by what happens as well, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's important. I think it's critical. And then so much we talk about how you have to constantly change gears or make new plans, right? It's going to rain. Oh no. Well, right. One fantastic time we had a sun plan. Oh no, it's going to rain. It rained. And then the sun came out and we ran outside and looked at this pine tree that was full of rainbows.
Oh, beautiful.
Raindrops had held on and the sun was shining on it. And so that was group.
Yeah, that is fantastic.
Mark, so descriptive. I can just imagine your stories. It's so nice.
Yeah, the visual, the visual essence that you articulate is really powerful.
But I will say that I did have this kind of desire to garden or build gardens in almost every square inch of the campus that I could get a hold of. And I was told, no, don't do this. Don't make more gardens than we can look after. And yet it worked. It worked. It worked mainly because the clients were so much a part of building those gardens. And then in the end, because we developed a vocational program called the Green Team, they were able to care for them too. And some fantastic gardens were built, and including there was a the paths. So paths were built in an area where it was a shade garden, whereas most of the campus was in the sun. There really wasn't a place to kind of be with the clients in the shade. And so there was this wonderful narrow kind of corridor of shade, which was filled with kudzu, if you know what that is.
Oh, yeah.
And primitive, and all kinds of invasives. And we cleared that out. And then I worked with this landscape architect here in Atlanta, Edward Doherty, who over the phone gave me this instruction. He said, let the clients walk out in pairs in this space that's cleared with chairs, in pairs with chairs. And we had folding chairs, and decide where they want to sit in this space and place those chairs, and then draw linkages between those chairs with, we use yep. surveyor's tape, ribbon.
Right.
And that, those are the paths. And sure enough, everywhere they had a chair, a folding chair, we now have a stone bench.
Oh, fantastic.
It was their intuitive. They are the designers of this space, yep. right?
Yep.
And they knew where to put things. And then we worked on these paths. It actually became a group in itself. We called it Nature's Healer. And we would work on these paths. And we dug this pond together as well, got waders and everything. I mean, it was like amazing feat that was along the path where the water came out of these boulder rocks into the pond. We had a female engineer client who said, we called her Unsinkable, well, Joan of Arc, Unsinkable Molly Brown, whatever. She was just like, we can make this happen. And it did.
And so the facility that you have worked in has been both indoor and outdoor capacity then?
Correct. Yes.
And in the outdoor, has it, what you were saying, creating these spaces outdoors, were a number of them also elevated setting, raised beds, et cetera, for people to use as much as in ground?
It's funny you said that because we're not working with handicapped disabilities, right?
Mm-hmm.
We did have some raised beds, and we built others. But the raised beds that we had near the greenhouse, we ended up taking them down to create a more open space because I have a problem about raised beds sometimes. They're not movable. Well,
yeah.
And what we needed was a movable landscape. So instead we have these big urns that you can move around And the clients, they need to create that space. They need to be able to be, and we're, as we revolve and have different client, had different clients come in, they need to be as much, you know, kind of agency, have agency of that space. But there is a funny story about the raised beds too, because I at first it was very popular to have square foot gardening.
Yes. Yep.
And, We tried that and it didn't work. It was like which square is mine? And then at one point we drew strings across and made a crazy quilt. Well, that didn't work either. And so I had this idea, another 2 a.m. idea, that we could lay out hula hoops in the garden, and that could be their garden space. And they would butt against each other, kind of like the Olympic rings or something. And then the void in between those circles could be kind of where our common space
was. Access. Yeah.
Herbs. And so that was a really exciting thing because I was trying to show the clients that, and again, parallel to their journey, that the journey of the seed is not linear, right? It's cyclical. And so here was this circle that could be like a mandala that they could design, and that recovery didn't have any dead ends. It was like walking the path was like walking a labyrinth, and it may seem longer than other paths and more exciting in the end.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and not linear. So the whole idea was just kind of to work within a circle rather than a square with dead ends or corners. And mm-hmm. and it was the cutest thing, the things they'd come up with in those circles. I loved it.
That's awesome. Yeah. And so you're always inventing new strategies and solutions. That is so fun to have that creativity, and the support behind it as well helps out for sure.
Yes. The support behind it and the collaboration.
Mm-hmm. And I love how you empower the, as you said, the clients as agents to determining the fate of it, as much as you having you were a guide, but you really helped them get the product, I suppose, in the process.
Yeah.
We have a closing question for the our guest interview with you. And some people have their answers very determined or very focused, and other people are like, oh, I don't know. So I'm very curious what you're going to end up saying in this question. So Aaron, take it away.
Oh, it's back to me.
Go back to you on it.
So Libba, doing all of these programming, what is your go-to or favorite plant to use in sessions?
Wow. I think I do not have a hesitation there. It's got a great story behind it. It was something I propagated and snuck in my bag from horticultural therapy school when we were in Ohio. And it's Plectranthus tomentosa.
Oh, yeah.
The Vix plant. The clients, I made it real clear. This was not science 101, botany 202, whatever, right. You know, and that they did not have to know the botanical names. In fact, it was more important that they could name the plants. So they called this plant, they had two different names. One, tree of life plant, because if you look at the leaf on the backside, it looks like the tree of life. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we could make little pendants in art for the clients.
Right. The silhouette of the leaf does look like an arborvitae. I've never thought of that. That's cool.
And if you look closely, it's like contrapuntal and it's not symmetrical. Right. Everyone's unique. And the other they also called it the DBT plant. Okay, dialectical behavioral therapy, because it touches all five senses. And I could spend a whole group just working with the leaf. It was amazing. Wow. I would start with their eyes closed, feel the leaf, and then they would rub it against their cheek, fold it next to their ear where it's loud. When you snap it, it's amazing. Obviously looking at the taste, and then make tea out of it. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What trends tomentosa?
Oh my God. It's a good plant. And I love the fact that you snapped a propagation from a class. It's like, watch out for us horticultural therapists. We're just...
That's right. That's right. And you can also, so you plant the leaf itself, you know, like a succulent. And then my favorite thing is when it did root, and usually that takes probably longer than I would want to use for a therapeutic session. You know, the stem roots much faster than the leaf. But when you do root that leaf and then you tug at it, it's like, you know, tugging at a single thing and you find it connected to everything. No, what is that quote from?
Oh my gosh. Yep. I know that plant very well. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I did not know it was edible.
Yes.
I was just looking it up.
Buena herba. It's in Spanish. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I know it's very aromatic.
Oh yeah.
And I love the texture of it, you know, very, you know, thick, you know, and kind of velvet, not velvety, but suede texture.
I think when I retired, they might've thrown out a few hundred, but and there's still enough. There was still enough left.
Yeah. But Tranthus is such a huge genus too.
I think they more or less use it like in like cookies, like arroz con pollo, and they would use in cooking too. So there's different, there's Cuban oregano, which is very similar. It's a Plectranthus
Why would I want something that smells like Vicks vapor rub in my
throat? Like when it's dried and like cooked, it's like it has that. Well, it has that thymol in it. It has that thymol that oregano has. Same as Vicks.
I see.
The Vicks was a little bit more pepperminty, Vicksy kind of flavor, but I love my Cuban oregano, so it's very close related.
Well, coleus is now plectranthus, so I mean, it's all like.
Oh really?
Solenostenum is now plectranthus something or other. So
Farmers changed their names.
Yeah.
What's really unique at Skyland is that we were able to grow most of the plants we used in our programming. We said our campuses were our canvases. Unbelievable. So we could harvest year round, mainly being in Georgia and all.
right. Well, I really hope to come down and visit, you know, and I know you're not working there anymore, but I'd love it if you could show me your old stomping grounds.
Oh, you bet. And I could show some other places in Atlanta as well.
Great.
It would be awesome.
Well, thank you so much, Libba, for sharing with us your beautiful imagination and journey of horticultural therapy. It's really one of a kind for sure. And I hope it's inspirational to many.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
We're definitely not like car talk.
I had to look that up.
That's so cute. You've got to listen to it. I can't believe it.
That's more crude than we are.
But it's fun. No, but you have the humor and you can.
Yes,
you
know, we do.
Create the banter. Yeah.
Awesome. Listeners, that is our episode kicking off 2023. Thank you so much, Libba. Thank you so much, Irene, coming on. And thank you, listeners, for listening. Please download, please share, please follow us on Podbean.
And please practice horticultural therapy.
And we will be back next month.
Happy New Year.
Yes. Happy New Year.